Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In-Depth Grief Chat. And we are thrilled to have on the phone with us today the host of Grief Chat, Donna Mathewitz. And we are talking in the new year, so I'm very anxious to get caught up with her and see what's going on. Donna, how have you been?
I've been fine. Thank you. We made it through the holidays, and here we are in 2021, right?
Right, when all of our troubles were supposed to be behind us.
I don't think anyone believed that.
Oh, I kind of did. I kind of had myself convinced. I had the kids convinced. And then they just said, I thought that all our troubles were behind us. So what does a happy new year mean to you? And you told me before we went on the air, that's not something you necessarily wish people.
Yeah, well, it's one of the topics for when I have spoken to groups this time of year that I title it Happy New Year with a couple question marks behind it, because I'm aiming that, of course, at people in grief and whether they feel like they can go into the new year feeling happy or not. And happy is, happiness is elusive, right? I mean, that we tend to think there's something magic about something that will make us happy, and we know it's usually very short term. Maybe if I get a new car, I'll be happy, right? Or maybe if I go buy that new outfit I saw, or maybe if whatever, you name it. And we all know, yeah, but how the happiness is quite brief, isn't it? Like the car is great till you get the first payment that you have to pay, and then maybe not so much.
Mm-hmm.
But so I thought, well, maybe what we really mean in grief or not is, and I have heard some people say this year about stay healthy, stay well, more so than before, and I guess we know where that's coming from, right, with the COVID and all that. But maybe it's more about, having a healthy new year. And, of course, physically, we want that for ourselves and for other people, but it lends me to think about, being healthy, mind, body, and spirit. And in a time where I think we have felt so out of control, beginning last March, and it just seems like it has continued on some kind of a curve here, that more and more things have been taken out of our control. And I think we seek that, right? We aren't really very content, I don't think, when we don't have some control, and we have little of it some days, it feels like. Then I think, well, then what can we? What can we control? And what we can control are things like, what are we doing physically for ourselves? And of course, there's certainly been a spotlight on what do we do for ourselves to make ourselves less likely to get sick, whether it's, the virus or anything else. And there's some standard things. I always kind of chuckle because no matter what you might be seeing a doctor for, there's like these same things that we hear all the time. It's like, well, drink plenty of water, keep your body moving, get some kind of exercise, watch your diet, eat healthy, get your fruits and veggies, and get plenty of sleep, right? We've all heard that,
mm-hmm.
haven't we? It's funny because the same is really at its core. I share that quite often with the groups I've spoken to, because it's still important if you're in grief or if you're looking just as a way to hopefully prevent some illness. It's still worthy ideas to implement into your life. And it's really things that those four things we can control, right? I mean, sometimes getting a good night's sleep is tough, hard as we might try. But there's things maybe that we're doing prior to that. Turn off the screens and, don't drink coffee too late. Practical things. So, I mean, there really are things we can control with that. So for me, as we all know, our body does speak to us when we simply ignore it and don't do any of those four, or at least are lacking in most of them. And so for me, that kind of came to a head for me over the last couple of months when I had a knee injury, and then the holidays were coming, and those are difficult on top of the holidays looking so absolutely different than they hardly ever have before. But I thought, well, what can I grab hold of? And I just decided in my mind and made some commitments to myself that I'd make some healthy changes, and I feel better. It has helped to do those things. So when we say everything's out of control, our control, that's not true. Everything is not out of our control. And we can do these things, So, and for the mind, I think, as we all know, we are inundated with negativity, never more so than we have been for the last many months, and especially the last few months through the election cycle and all that's transpired since then. But again, who gets to control the remote to turn off the TV or not go to that YouTube on your phone, or, you know, I don't know. I and that's, you know, my choice is to see less of it. You hear about it anyway. Someone once told me, no, whatever bad news is that you don't feel a need to have to put in front of you and read word for word, someone's going to tell you anyway. It's not like you're going to miss out. You're going to hear about it. And if you're on social media at all, it's there. But I just caution people into saying how much, you know, it's like almost garbage in, garbage out. How can we be positive and have any hope for the new year if we continue to feed our minds with things that seem so hopeless? And so that's one of the things I think about, you know, for the making of a healthier mind is that. And then the other piece I talk about is your spirit, what's inside of you. You know, for me, we have a strong faith. We are Christians, and I don't know, and I have really just leaned on that. You know, as soon as these negative things enter my mind and the what ifs and how about this and the would have, should have, could have, I just have to switch over and go, you know what? I know he's in control, and he's not different. He's not changed one iota since before March 13th to now. That's what remains the same. It's the only thing that, for me, that ever has or ever will. And so I lean into that even more. And I know that there's a better place than what we have here, and someday I'll be there. And the bonus for me is I get to see my kids again that are there and other loving people that I've missed for years. So I think that's just an important piece, that we think about those things. And, you know, I heard a wonderful term the other day, Mo, is, someone said, you know, spending all this time with the would've, should've, could've, and the second guessing ourselves on, we talk quite a bit about this in our grief group, of people, the would've, should've, could've is a real cycle that, and usually a downward spiral that people find themselves in, especially if, you know, someone died in a manner that maybe you think you could have changed the outcome somehow. Why didn't I tell her? Why didn't I make her go to the doctor? Why didn't I make him have a second opinion? Why did I let him go to that party that night? You know, I mean, the world is full of that. And this person, with thinking of in that way, said it's like cognitive quicksand. Mm. Isn't that a great term?
Yes.
Cognitive quicksand. Because the more you muddle in it and move in it, the deeper you sink into a place where you can't get free. And I thought, that is, I don't know, that term just struck me as, wow, cognitive quicksand. That's something to think about.
Donna, when a person is grieving, is their immune system compromised? Isn't there a physiological
piece? Yeah, very much so.
So
yeah.
That's the other reason why I think people that are grieving need to be careful in this day and age with, you know, COVID floating around still.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, in fact, in the early parts of your grief, when you are, you know, when you are, and I validate that, you know, eating well, exercising, all that, it is hard to do when you can barely pull your body out of bed, much less think about, did I get my fruits and veggies today? So I understand that I'm a realist here. I've been there. But when we can, I say, you know, if you can just even every few days and let someone who offers to bring you something, let them bring a meal to you, you know, let them feed your family for a while, you know, a few times a week. But it is true. And even for very serious, I mean, statistics show that people in grief are much more likely to even to cancer and to serious heart disease. So you're right. Your immune system is shot for a time. It is a serious thing. And the last thing anyone who's already grieving or their family needs to happen is have someone else become ill and have that to contend with besides.
So there are some grief groups in Hastings, I know, that you wanted to tell people about.
Yeah, we have two of them, Mo. We have our general grief group, which has been operating in Hastings for more than 25 years, and that is on the fourth Thursday of every month. We meet from 6 to to 7:30 over at the Tilden Community Ed Building on 4th and River. It's 310 River Street. And we just are getting back there. We've been out of the building because whenever the school makes changes, you know, with being open or not, it affects us. But now we're back there again, starting the 28th of this month will be our January meeting. And then the other group is our Gone Too Soon, which is a group just for parents who have lost children. And we meet on the first and third Wednesday of each month from 6:30 to 8. And we are also over at the Community Ed Building. There's such a need there. You know, and I remember back to when Dick and I went to our first Compassionate Friends, which is still up, and the group is huge. I believe it's international, and it's there. And we went there to the chapter in Maplewood after Tim died. About 2 weeks after he died, we were at our first meeting, which mm-hmm. is now I see people come to our meeting that soon, and sometimes it's just too soon because you're so numb you can't even wrap your head around the fact that you're at a meeting like that. But we went. You know, it was one of, and other people have described our meetings this way too, where it's this push-pull, like part of you pushes away, like, I do not want to admit that I even need a meeting like this, but there's something that pulled us back every other week to Compassionate Friends, like, but I can't wait to go back, because it was almost like an oasis of a place where we could be who we were, and that really anything goes in those meetings, as far as if you're angry, if you just want to be quiet, if you need a place to cry, if you, you know, whatever it might be, there's this freedom that comes with a healthy grief group. Ours has proven to be, you know, healthy and welcoming, and that's because of the people that come and that come around, those new people showing up and just care for them and are understanding and loving towards them. And it's a safe place to be where you need to be. And then, you know, hopefully what we see is those people begin to, healing process begins, and they continue down the road. And before long, for some, and others it takes longer because the timeline is different for everyone, they start becoming the helpers to those who are new and can say, I was where you were. I remember feeling like that, which says, I don't anymore. So if that gives you hope that you will feel different, and I don't know if better is a good word. I think it's, I feel different now. You know, and there's this, I've told people, you know, many times, you know, what I do know is it won't always hurt as much as it hurts now. But something I read recently said, another thing I could say was to say, it won't hurt as long as it does now. Meaning, when you have those down times in fresh grief, it's like you don't get a break. You are in pain and hurting consistently throughout a day, through the week, into a month, or whatever length of time it is. But eventually, if you're doing the hard work of grieving, which means, I mean, hopefully you're finding a good meeting to go to, you know, support group to be part of, you're doing some reading, you're feeding your mind and your body and your spirit what it needs to become healthy, you will find that those really painful times are not so frequent anymore, and you get a break. And it might start out with, gee, I haven't cried all day, or, you know, this has been a pretty good week. I only had those two different times where I just broke down. Or, gosh, even to say, I haven't thought about him all week. And at first it's like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with me? Something's wrong. Does that mean I don't miss him anymore? Does that mean I don't love him enough? And it's like, no, that's not true. It means life has filled in some of those spaces, and your pain isn't as intense. It can be just as intense, but for much shorter time period than you experienced early on.
Donna, what keeps people from going to a grief group?
You know, I think it's just the unknown. You know, it's a place they've never been, and they probably have these ideas in their head of how it's going to look. I remember a story of way back when we were doing a child loss group years ago, before we formed Gone Too Soon. There was a gal who, she said she sat in the parking lot for quite a while, and she finally came in. What she expected was a room full of people, and she was just going to sit in the back and be unnoticed, and then she could just sneak out if she didn't want to stay. She walks into this little grief group. There were like five of us. I think that was not what she wanted. I think she liked the picture she had in her mind of it's a big group and I'll just, they won't even notice me. Kind of like going to a big church and no one even notices when you go in and out. That's not true in a grief group. Our grief groups are either group, you know, probably 10, 12, no, sometimes 15. We've had as many as 20 people in the group at one time. But you are part of the group. But having said that, no one is forced to speak if they don't want to. We don't put anyone on the spot, you know, and generally people only don't speak because they're so emotional that they can't get their words out at first. And even those that I'll say, if you want to pass, just nod or say, I'll pass, and we'll just go to the next person. And then even those people will say, I'm ready now. I can talk now, you know, and then they do talk most of the time, not always. And some are quiet for several meetings, and some never speak, but they come because they say, I know I don't say anything, but I'm learning so much from this group, and it's really helpful. So just to know, it really is kind of an intimate group. But it's a group that you become trusting of each other and supportive of each other, and you learn each other's stories. And we're big on saying our loved one's names, and pretty soon other people remember your loved one's name, your child's name, your husband's name, and they use it when they speak to you, which is such a gift to have someone else say their name, too. So, you know, I think there's nothing to fear, and I think, well, just come. Come, you know, but come two or three times before you make a decision, because, you know, the flavor of the group can change depending on people who are there and maybe where the conversation went. Or, you know, we do have a topic. I introduce an education piece, and then we have time to discuss. And sometimes we talk about what I put on the table, and sometimes we don't. It goes totally somewhere else, and that's okay. We don't have a tight agenda. My goal is to serve as many people as I can in the short time we're together by discussing and answering some things. I don't always have the answer, but someone else in the room might have something similar they experienced, and sometimes they can be the one who can share what worked for them or what didn't work for them as they dealt with a particular part of their grief.
Donna, do people need reservations to come to your meetings?
Not at all. They can just show up the door. Many people do email me. And my email is donna@unfinishedbydesign.com. And that is the same as my website, Unfinished by Design. But they don't need to. They just sometimes are checking on things. And I always, you know, I always have to go, if you want to talk to me first, you know, you can call me or let me know when I can call you, because I'd be happy to discuss it. Because then I kind of clear out some of these fears and some of these ideas they might have about, because they do want to know, well, what happens there? What do you do there? You know. So they have a better idea in their mind before they even walk through the door.
Wonderful. Thank you for all you do. Donna Mathewitz, the host of Grief Chat, and Grief Chat is heard once a month on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.